This is the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show with head coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Marshland Credit Union, Lou Sobke of Brunswick, and by Cunningham Jewelers. And now, here is your host, Aaron Beck.
Welcome to the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show with head coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Aaron Beck. The Herons Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Cunningham Jewelers, Marshland Credit Union, and by Lou Sobke, Kia Brunswick. And now joining us, the head coach of the Brantley County Herons, Coach David Shores.
Hey, Coach Beck, how you doing, man?
Doing pretty good, Coach. Figure we go ahead and knock out this last show now that we've been able to take a step back from the season and just look at the bigger picture of it, not focus on it as much from week to week. But first question I wanted to touch on, Coach, was the with the results of the season, obviously, what are some positive takeaways that we can look at and tell the fans as well as some of the players?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, Aaron, you know, we've got to play a lot of young kids, got a lot of reps in the game. You know, I think we had six sophomores start this season overall. So, you know, you got those guys coming back for two more years. That's huge for us. You know, Zane Smith starting at safety every game, even with a broken hand at the end of the game, you know, was able to get a lot of valuable reps on the back end. Talon Collins also starting back there. You had Clark starting at inside backer the entire season, never really missing a game. You got Dennis Rawlson starting on the D-line all year, did a tremendous job and got better every game, every week. You know, then offensively, you had several kids play over there. So we're really excited about you know, the young group we got coming up. That sophomore class is you know, sort of stacked, and we want to keep them involved. We return all five starters on the offensive line, which is rare in any program these days. So that's a big plus for us. I mean, that's a point that hadn't been real strong for us the last couple of years. But we've been, you know, relatively young on that side of the ball, especially on the lines. So getting those five guys back next year is going to be huge. You know, culture's been an issue, I think, the last 2 years, you know, with buy-in. That happens whenever you take over a program a lot of times. You know, but next year, all these kids will sort of be my kids. You know, they've never been exposed to any other way of doing it. So the expectations are what they are. They know what I expect. And you know, sort of building that culture, you know, little to no pushback from kids on next year's roster. And that's, I think that's a huge part of building your culture and a winning program. So, you know, we're excited about that. You know, you get to reclass and reclassification of the GHSA. You know, that's that means I get to make my own schedule, and that's always exciting. When I came in, that schedule was set, and you know, there's some really tough games on there. The region was tough in itself. You have four top 10 programs in the region, but then you throw in Tarleton County and Pierce County, and those people makes it pretty difficult. So, you know, getting to you know, maybe schedule some people that we could compete a little bit better with, you know, is a point of emphasis for me going into this offseason. You know, the excitement of moving into a new athletic facility this spring, looking at early March. You know, it's a deal with coaches' offices, new locker room, new weight room, all those things, you know, the kids can be proud of. You know, I think that goes a long way. It's a big shot in the arm for our kids and for the staff as well. So we're excited about that. You know, fundraising this off season went really, really well. You know, probably brought in twice as much as we did last year through fundraising efforts. So that was great. We were able to make some big purchases. I think that'll help us down the road. You know, a new travel trailer, equipment trailer was a big purchase. You know, we bought a whole new set of alternate uniforms to play at home. We also bought field equipment, bought a new offensive line zone chute, which is, you know, about a $4,000 purchase there. Those things, you know, last for years, and these are things that we'll get use of down the road. So, you know, that fundraising goes toward 100% of what we bring in goes toward our team and our program and those kids. So we were very proud of that effort this offseason. You know, several kids – were saved during this season. Brother Ray McMillan was our team chaplain this year and did a phenomenal job setting up our pregame meals every week. And, you know, early in the year, we had multiple kids, you know, that were saved in one of our pregame meals. So, you know, those are wins that are off the field and things that probably count more than
– That's a life win, Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last year I know we had two kids that were saved my first year, and I told my wife after the season was over, I said, you know, we had two wins on the field, we had two wins off the field, and those two off-the-field wins are a lot bigger in my opinion.
That's right.
If we could do that every year, I'd feel really good about the job we're doing here. And, and we had multiple kids that were able to give their life to the Lord early in the season. That made this season a success, in my opinion. You know, this morning we do sort of, coaching points, Wednesdays, you know, football 101 Wednesdays, where we talk about a lot of different things, but it's character development, it's player development, program development. And one of the things we talked about this morning was the definition of success. We asked every kid to write down their own definition of success, and then, you know, maybe a one individual that they look up to that sort of epitomizes what they think is you know, that definition of success. And, you know, you get all kind of different answers from kids, but a lot of them had to do with, you know, our present-day definition of success, which has to do with material goods and accumulating wealth and fame and fortune and all that stuff. And then you look at an archaic definition of success. It says basically setting a goal, and whether or not you reach that goal or not, it's still successful. So we talked about that. And then you look at a biblical definition of success and trying to tie all those things together, you know, what's truly important and what it means to be successful. So, you know, we're going to continue doing that every Wednesday and have a different topic of the week. So it's really good. Just trying to get the kids to understand that there are things in life that are more important than what society today tells you is success. And that'll carry over in the big picture as well.
Right. Yeah, Coach, a couple of big topics there. Obviously, Christian, myself, anytime you can give yourself to the Lord's always a fantastic day.
Absolutely.
Regardless of anything that happens on the field, I'll go 0-40 for my life if I can get kids to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then one other thing too, especially in this day and age, you touched on the new facilities.
Yeah,
it's crazy to me, and it also makes sense to me how something that doesn't have a part on the field, but how that can just inject a sense of, hey, we're restarting. This is a good chance to reset culture or anything else that you touched on, and just by getting new facilities. And that's why all those times when we have all those bills about, hey, let's pass the SPLOST, some of the community doesn't realize just how big it is. But for these kids, man, that when they get those new facilities, they're more excited about that than anything.
Absolutely. You look at the surrounding schools, you know, we got to compete with. You're looking at that Pierce County and how much they put into their facilities, their weight room, field house, and then football stadium and turf and all that. It takes a lot of money. Then you look at Ware County with their open-door indoor facility. You know, kids want to participate in a place like that, you know, where they can have the best of the best. And then you look over at Glenn County now. I know Brunswick's building a new weight room, and everybody, you know, Camden's got a 30,000-square-foot weight room and facility. So, you know, it does mean a lot. It goes a long ways. Kids need a nice place to you know, habitate in, and during the season they're there probably more than they are at home. You know, so it means a lot. I think it instills some pride. You know, when you pull up at our current facility, you know, it's older. It's going to get a new facelift. I know when wrestling's going to be housed there. But, you know, now it just sort of looks dingy and it's old. And we've tried to keep it up as well as we could, keep it clean. But, you know, having a new you know, weight equipment, a new space, new locker rooms, all those things, you know, it's going to instill a lot more pride in our kids.
That's right.
And I think it encourages them to work a little bit harder.
That's right.
Yeah.
All righty. We'll go ahead and take a break. There's more to come on the Herons Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
Ready, aggressive,
fight songs, cheerleaders, whistles blowing. They're all part of the game. Unfortunately, so are injuries. I'm Dr. Denny Carter with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, reminding all athletes that if you hurt your elbow, break your hand or wrist, or even blow out a shoulder or knee, we can help. And we have the strength of Southeast Georgia Health System supporting us. Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS That's 1-855-275-7447 or visit sghs.org.
Lou Saab Kia of Brunswick is a proud supporter of local athletics and your official high school football dealership. At Lou Saab Kia, we love Friday Night Lights just like you. Come check out our massive inventory, over 100 in-stock vehicles to choose from, as low as 1.9% APR on new vehicles.
Welcome back to the Brantley County and Herons Coaches Show with Head Coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Aaron Beck. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery and by Lou Saab Kia Brunswick. Coach, with the offseason officially starting, what are some of your immediate plans for the offseason?
Yeah, I think most coaches, you know, in our shoes that hadn't made the playoffs, you try to jump back in the routine of weight training as soon as possible. We didn't take a week off. We came back, after game 10 and basically tested that week. We had to do our Georgia Fit stuff, to be documented. That's a state-mandated deal for PE. But also we tested our strength numbers as well, squat, bench, and power clean. Tried to get one rep maxes on all those so we could establish a new baseline for all of our underclassmen. We've sort of cycled out our senior class, unless they're two-sport athletes. Mm-hmm. They're allowed to stay in, but all the guys that are done sort of move into a PE role in the gym. And our young kids, they did a good job. We had a few numbers that dropped off during the season. But if you're hitting anywhere around 10 pounds of your old max, then you're in good shape coming off a 10-game, 10-week, 12-week season, really, when you count the open weeks. So Coach Foreman did a tremendous job during the season. We even had some kids go up last week and at least two lifts. So that's phenomenal. We didn't drop off much at all in our strength numbers. The weight room is where you sort of establish a culture, a team culture. You can build a team there. Like I said, we'll lift 4 days a week, and usually on Wednesdays we'll hit some active recovery and like I said, some skull sessions on Wednesday. So it's a really, really important time for us. We'll keep our entire team in there throughout the off season. So we're excited about that. We've got to build confidence in this team, especially with the young kids we got coming back. And mental toughness, that's a key to winning football games, especially second half games. You look at Bacon County last game of the year, it's a one score game, 6-point game. We go out there in the third quarter and had some bad things happen, and then the game sort of fell apart on us. We couldn't score in the second half, and they did. So, we got to be able to finish games like that. We got to be able to win games that are close, and that starts in the weight room in the off season. So. That's going to be a key for our success going into next season. Booster Club, we're talking this week about establishing, a banquet, an awards banquet coming up. We're going to try to knock that out as soon as possible, probably between now and Christmas. So that's part of the plan for off season. We also got to make a few more purchases. Getting with Coach Steve on that segment clock we really need. That's something that anywhere I've been I've had. And it makes practicing a whole lot easier if you've never used one. So that's going to be a purchase. We're going to get a defensive chute this year, some more tackling dummies. A lot of people have gone to a rugby-style tackle now, and they make some short, fat dummies that you really got to get our flat back on and get down low. So that's one of the purchases I plan on making. Getting out and recruiting hallways, is always important in the off season. You might pick up a player or two that help you next year. I had a freshman approach me in the cafeteria this morning early. That's a freshman that moved in. So I'm excited about that. Hopefully I'll find a couple more, project kids that we can turn into something and develop into players. So that's always something we try to do in the off season as well.
Mm-hmm. Couple of things. One of the big things for me, coach, is I always tell people all the time, 50% of being a good coach is getting kids out of the hallway. Mm-hmm. You've known it because you've done it for a while. I do it with the wrestling program. So that's always a big, big part. And then the other thing is working when a coach isn't watching, right? When you've got a kid in the weight room, obviously, we can't watch every single rep every single kid's doing.
That's right.
So you've got to have kids that aren't coach watchers. Yep. They're the ones that are getting the reps when a coach isn't watching.
Yep.
And what they don't realize is that winning or that success that they define comes from those moments. It doesn't come what happens whenever a coach watches them.
Absolutely.
It comes from when a coach isn't watching them. So that's real big for me as well, especially
intrinsic
with my program.
Motivation. We're looking at kids like that all the time. They can push themselves and don't need us to motivate them to do every little thing.
That's right. You're listening to the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, just to go back to one of the things we mentioned about the some of the positive takeaways, you did bring up the reclassification earlier. I know that comes with new alignment that actually just came out Tuesday. What are some of your thoughts on that, and have you had any luck with the non-region scheduling so far?
Yeah, you know, Aaron, I don't dislike our new region at all. You know, it's an 8-team region. You know, there's the big three you're talking about with Pierce, Applin, and Toombs that, mm-hmm. You know, are going to be really hard to compete with and beat. But, you know, you got
Tattnall.
You got Tattnall, who's always tough. Mm-hmm. Coach Collins does a great job over there. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, mm-hmm. You know, and the job he does. You're looking at you know, the other you know, five you're talking about, or four, Beach, Islands, Savannah, Johnson, and us. There's four teams in that region that made the playoffs and four that didn't. Mm-hmm. So you know, we're not looking at four in the top 10 in our class. Mm-hmm. You know, in that region. So you know, I think you know, those other four or five teams we can compete with. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe have a chance, and then. You know, that leaves us with three non-region games to schedule early in the year. I've got verbal commitments from three of our sort of surrounding local schools that I think we can play with. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have contracts on those yet, so I don't really want to name them. But
right.
I think, you know, if we can get these nailed down, I'm really excited about the potential of the schedule shaping up.
I agree, especially if you can get those non-region early on to build some confidence with your kids, and as well as to test yourself, see what you need to work on.
Yep.
I think that's always huge.
Absolutely.
So, with that being said, what are some major changes that you can see coming to the program between now and spring ball? Because that's your guys' next big thing will be spring ball.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to be making some major changes on the offensive side of the ball. We've struggled there the last 2 years. You know, it's no secret. You know, we went seven straight games this week and this year and didn't score a point. So, mm-hmm. You know, it was a little bit misleading. You know, we had issues on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. So when you're not very good up front, it really doesn't matter what scheme you run. Mm-hmm. You know, we tried last year sort of a grab bag approach. You know, after the first couple of games wasn't working, we said, well, let's try this and let's try that and let's try mm-hmm. this. And when you get into that mode of inconsistency in scheme, it's hard to ever really get good at anything.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you're not trying something new and you just keep beating your head against the wall, that can be sort of disgruntling too.
Right.
So, you know, I think it's worthwhile going into the office and trying and putting some things up on the board and seeing what sticks and trying to build off of that, which mm-hmm. is what we sort of did the second half of the season. You know, we found some good things and some not so good things. But we will be making some really big changes personnel-wise, scheme-wise, on that side of the ball. I'm currently looking for a quarterback coach, an offensive coordinator, play caller. So, you know, major changes coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the kids will be excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that hire, I think, will determine, you know, what we do in the spring.
Right.
You know, whether or not we have a spring football or not. A lot of people have elected, especially in the small schools, mm-hmm. to go to two, you know, preseason scrimmages instead mm-hmm. of
spring
ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, when you're sharing baseball kids and track kids and all that, it makes sense at a small school. I do love spring football. I think it gives the kids something to work toward in off season,
right?
To get out there and get better. You can do a lot of blocking and tackling fundamentals at spring football that you sort of, you know, may shy away from during mm-hmm. the season. You know, worried about getting somebody hurt. When you get them hurt in the spring, you got time to get them back before August. But anyway, so that's a big part of it. You know, the offensive changes we got coming. And whether or not we do, you know, spring ball or not, I think that's a key mm-hmm. takeaway going into the off season.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of spring too, because it's a good way to get buzz about your program. That way, during the summer, you look at the start of summer practices, and you don't have this kid out there. You can be like, "Hey, guys, we got to get this kid here."
Absolutely.
And it still gives you the time to be able to see what you need to improve on. Like, I know you guys probably keep up with the laundry list of things to work on and hit it week by week. So spring's definitely important, but I can also see the benefit of the two preseason games, because then it gives you two tries before it officially counts.
Yep.
Which is also beneficial. So with that, guys, we'll be right back on the Herons Coaches Show with Head Coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Touchdown Fridays are all about big plays, and at Marshland Credit Union, we're here to help you make yours. Cash for your first car or a loan for your forever home, we've got the game plan. proud to back our hometown teams because winning is better when we all do it together. Marshland Credit Union, local roots, big wins.
Cunningham Jewelers is a proud supporter of local athletics, and just like you, we enjoy Friday Night Lights. Whether it's natural talent or coaching created talent, they both win games. And whether it's Earthmine Diamonds or Labmine Diamonds, they both look great in her ears or on her finger. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652 or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
Welcome back to the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show with Head Coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Aaron Beck. This segment is brought to you by Cunningham Jewelers and Marshland Credit Union. One thing that we just mentioned, Coach, right before the break was we mentioned a little bit about kids double dipping with different sports, whether it's in the spring or even if it's at the tail end of the season with basketball and wrestling with your winter sports. Me personally, I think something needs to be done at the GHSA level to not have as much overlap, because I don't know about your sport, but I know my sport in particular, I've got kids that either don't want to miss towards the end of my season for either baseball, soccer. So a lot of kids end up going the route of, okay, well, I'm just not going to do that sport in the middle so that they don't miss it. What's your opinion on that with GHSA?
Well, you know, first of all, I love multi-sport athletes. I want all of our kids playing everything they can. You know, and I don't like the fact that some of this overlap happens and makes kids sort of choose. We should never make kids choose what sport to play and what not to play. They should be able to allowed to play any sport, and, you know, by calendar, it should allow them a little bit of break in between the, the two sports and you know, no overlap. So definitely the state needs to come through and make some changes, I think, in the calendars to help us out, to encourage more kids to play, you know, multiple sports. You know, I feel like football is sort of at a disadvantage because we lose touch with so many kids for such a long period of time, where a lot of other sports don't. You know, it may be, you know, 3 months before you get your hands back on one to get to work with them, where many other sports are sort of year-round. And if we lose one to any other sport, whether it be winter sport or spring sport, it carries over through summer. And you know, you got baseball trying to get kids to play travel ball and all that. Not that we have that issue here, but those travel league baseball coaches, you know, they encourage kids to go play these tournaments all every weekend and many times during the week. So it pulls from us during the summer. You know, we're not legally, you know, able to make it mandatory until August, So, those summer months where, you know, everybody's working and the people we got to compete with and try to beat, you know, are working all summer long and not losing kids.
Well, the biggest thing is, Coach, is like, if you don't, because you can't make summer mandatory, your guys' first games are typically a week into school.
Absolutely.
And that's the first time you can make it mandatory. So you're expecting some of these kids that are going to these different sports, and I get it, for the summer ends up being essentially free-for-all for a lot of different sports. Like, I know with wrestling, we struggle with kids and going to either baseball or football workouts, basketball, anything. And it makes it really tough, and it ends up, especially with the smaller schools, when we don't have as many athletes to spread out, we've got to share. And it ends up being a deterrent to a lot of the different sports programs, and especially with wrestling and football as a combination, I'm a big fan of cross training. There's so many different benefits, whether if you're looking at football and wrestling in particular, you got fighting off blocks with hand hand fighting and whatnot with wrestling. A takedown's literally a tackle. You can bring in basketball with it too, with your shiftiness and your balance, agility and all that. So I feel like because of the rules that GHSA have in place, smaller schools take a massive hit to different athletic programs, because kids are going to have favorite sports. It might be football, it might be basketball, baseball, your big three, any of that. And you end up losing kids based on that, because, Coach, I'll be the first to tell you, I look at the student section on Friday nights, and I see kids that can be helping the football team. But they're waiting on that season. They don't want to miss that 2 to 3 weeks or anything like that that they could be missing at the beginning or maybe the end of their season, which goes a long way. So I'm hoping that, someone up at GHSA can take a big step back and look at the bigger picture. And same thing with the rest that you mentioned. Like, I'm just getting started, and some of your players are coming to me, and some of them are asking them. Some of them I'm telling, like, hey, it's a good idea for you to take a week off, rest your body. At the end of the day, they recover fast, but they're still kids. They need a rest.
No doubt. Mentally too.
Exactly. So it's been a good thing to reset. But The issue is some of them are missing close to a month of season of a winter sport just because of the overlap of GHSA.
Right.
So,
right.
But either way, it's definitely something that I've been passionate about. And I know you guys, it affects you guys too. It affects all of
us.
And
absolutely.
Hopefully something will be done with it.
Hope so.
So either way, this is the Brantley County Heritage Coaches Show with Coach David Schwartz on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Last thing we'll finish up with, Coach, is the message to fans for this offseason.
Yeah. Well, you just know that I'm excited. I think our younger kids are excited about what's coming back. You know, we've got an opportunity to for a fresh new start, new schedule, new region. You know, a new team, you know, going to have some new coaches on staff. So I think there's a lot to be excited about. You know, I was telling the kids this morning, you know, I took over this program last year, and one of the reasons I came to Brantley was because I think there's time to lay a foundation here. You know, the expectations aren't to come in and win a state championship right away. It's to sort of establish and produce a winning program, a competitive winning program. And, you know, so the expectations are a little bit low, but that's okay because you can do it the right way.
You can build them along and along.
Start from the bottom and stack little wins on top of little wins, and those little wins become big wins. And that's why I was so excited about this opportunity and still am. You know, I know the season didn't go the way we wanted to. You know, that was part of our talk this morning about what's your definition of success. You look at our season and you say, man, 0-10, that's a lot of failure and all that stuff. But when you look at it from a different perspective, you think, well, we're laying a foundation. Toughness is a big part of the game of football, and trying to develop that and encourage that is huge. I think it's going to go a long way. So, you know, building some mental toughness and some resiliency through tough times, I think, you know, pay dividends in the long run. You know, these kids will look back on it one day and say, man, you know, that 0-10 season really spurred something special in this program, and that's what I'm thinking is going to happen.
Right. And what some of them don't realize is sometimes that adversity they face in a season like this past season can help them later on in life too, which is always a big end goal.
We've talked about that with our senior class going out. You know, tough times don't last and tough people do. I hope that's a lesson that they take for the rest of their life and lean on it.
That's right. Well, Coach, I appreciate everything this season. I thought it's been a pretty productive season. I've seen a lot of growth, even though some people look at it and they struggle a little bit with that. But from someone who's seen it every single game, I've seen a lot of growth, especially from our young kids. I've seen boys become men this season. I've seen people get saved and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Those are always big wins, Coach. I appreciate everything, and I appreciate all of our fans. Just wanted to say thanks for joining the Brantley County Heritage Coaches Show with Coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Aaron Beck, signing off.